In the name of him who has come and whose coming we await, amen. Welcome to the winter quarter, good seminarians and deaconess students. The seminary is happy to provide you with a bonus at no cost during this quarter, namely weather that will stimulate you towards Torah study. How wonderful it is to shorten winter by dwelling on Hebrew texts and warm your souls by pondering the Greek of the New Testament. Such a Hebrew text to lift our hearts and souls is the one just read from Isaiah. And I want to note that Isaiah lived in an interesting period. His call came in 740, and it was a time of unparalleled prosperity. Indeed, people compared it with the Solomonic epoch that had preceded that. And in the north were Amos and Hosea heralding as prophetic colleagues the kingdom, and in the south, Isaiah worked alongside of Micah. All of those texts, those great prophetic portraits, hold up a startling juxtaposition. On the one hand, there was remarkable prosperity and abundance. On the other hand, there was deep spiritual poverty. And it would not take long for that poverty to show itself, as the prophets announced in God's judgment. In 722, just 18 years later, the northern kingdom would fall and disappear from history. And then, a few years later, Jerusalem itself would be surrounded, and only the mercy of God would spare its destruction then. Every generation of human beings is faced by those same spiritual realities, and they will, by their nature, worship someone or something. You have to know the materialists will always lose. They simply can't reduce human beings to no more than matter. The great challenge, of course, is that Satan immediately imports all kind of false spiritualities. And the end of falsehood is the same: frustration and death. They simply cannot satisfy these religions that compete with God. In Isaiah's case, it was a variety of epics from the Canaanite culture, led by various renditions of the Baal cult. In our time, there are similar parallels to the alternative narratives that beckon human beings to satisfaction, but only deliver darkness and death. The truth does heal. And that's what Isaiah is about. With his prophetic colleagues, he's about the truth of God and the truth of humanity. And the prophets speak of the wonderful reality of God with inspired clarity. These are texts we need to love because they bring reality full and rightly to us. And how appropriately, at the end of the church year, and as we sit on the threshold of Advent, to ponder Isaiah's vision before us, and especially its concluding verse, which goes, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, it is he who will deliver us." And that's the heart of Isaiah's message. He names the apostasy that was going on all around him, and he prophesies with utter clarity the coming destruction of Jerusalem, now over a century ahead of us in history. But his real word is to those who have believed and responded to the announcement of God's action of salvation. And so he weaves a great tapestry of deliverance. And that tapestry is filled with wonderful images. Zion, as in our text, will be elevated to cosmic significance. The restored temple in Jerusalem will be worshiped in by a renewed people. There will be an epoch of peace, all in a new heavens and a new earth. And like a golden thread through that great tapestry is the source of this salvation. Emmanuel, born of the Virgin, son of David, root of Jesse, Prince of Peace, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Faithful and Suffering Servant. Everything, literally everything, all time, all space, the heavens, the earth, all depend upon this one. More than that, it's defined by his real presence in the flesh. Flesh assumed in the Virgin's womb. Flesh born in Bethlehem. Flesh maturing in Galilee. Flesh eating, drinking, sleeping, walking, teaching. Flesh dying on the cross. Flesh rising and ascending to God's right hand. True God and true man, given to humanity and to creation for its salvation. Flesh given to you, flesh given to me. This is no abstract God who will be tamed by Gnostic and Platonic realities. He will redeem us and our flesh and the world that he created, and he will do it by entering it and being fully there. Isaiah's tapestry beautifully displays the face of Christ in all of its concreteness, in all of its saving mercy. And the blessed apostles, they reach for Isaiah when they want to expound Jesus. Indeed, those of us who live in the Old Testament know that the New Testament department works with commentaries. We work with the Bible. They work with very good commentaries because the apostles join the prophets in expounding the very truth of God. So, good seminarians and deaconess students, love these texts. Love what they deliver to you, the living God who has joined himself to creation in the incarnation, and to you in the floods of baptismal water, in the meal of blessed presence, and in the word that absolves you daily. And go forward to announce that enfleshed God to all the world. He's here for all, and has given his very flesh and blood for all. In fact, to lift your vision for that calling of announcing his presence this Thanksgiving, I opened the Minneapolis paper, big thick volume with all the ads, and there on the front page, in about a 6x5 picture, was one of our seminary graduates, the Reverend Jesse Krusmark. And the rather lengthy exposition of his witness was a delight to read. He held up an alternative understanding of reality when faced with the terrible floods that he and his parish had experienced. You go into a world that is so phony as to deceive the great majority with ads and flippant things that don't satisfy the soul. And you go as the bearers of the real one who can heal and be there for all. So prepare, love the Torah and adore the incarnate Torah in this cold winter quarter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.